Hello, people of the world. It is Sunday, the 15th of January. I know, people. 2024. Holy fucking shit. I know. It's been a while, people. It has been a while. I took a bit of a break over Christmas, not for any particular reason. It wasn't one of these newfangled new age, hey man, I need some mental health time. I'm taking a few mental health days. Not that there's anything wrong with that before people start, you know, keyboard worrying their way in. I took a bit of a break, people. Holy shit, over Christmas and the New Year, period. Just to get a few bits done. I've been, you know, we all need a bit of a break every now and again, don't we? To be honest, I was too busy on the day that I usually do it, every fucking single Sunday since the new year. I have been, since Christmas, I have been flat out doing one thing or another. And here we are. New Year's resolution. Hey, man, I'm going to fucking batter it out every single week. New Year's resolution. Here we are. 15th of January. Only 2 weeks late, people. But what more do you expect here at the Ben Briggs podcast than a bit of lethargy when it comes to podcasting? Yes, I hope you've all had a nice Christmas. It seems a long time ago now, doesn't it? 3 weeks ago. I hope you've all had a nice Christmas. I hope you've had a nice new year. I hope your New Year's resolutions have been going off with a bang, like New Year's Eve did round here. Jesus Christ. I didn't think it was that bad last year, New Year's round here, for fireworks and explosions. And I get it. This is the first year. I've always been one of those people who's like, hey man, there are only fireworks. What are you doing hiding under the couch, ex-soldier? Crying and hugging yourself and shit like that, getting your fucking Vietnam flashbacks. Is that what you're doing? But this year, fuck me, Jesus. I don't know what they're putting in fireworks these days. I imagine it's still explosives from the looks of it. But from about 11:30 until about 1 o'clock in the morning round here, it was like, you know, think of a contemporary reference, Ben. It was like Gaza or Palestine has been over the last few months. I imagine, anyway. That's what I, you know, it was fucking loud. Let's put it that way. So I actually fell asleep. This is the first year on a New Year's Eve I've actually fallen asleep. I know, I'm getting to that age, people. I know, the next thing will be, I was about to say the next thing will be afternoon sleeps, but I do that already. So, you know, that's the progression of time when you see it, isn't it? From being young to being middle-aged and older. You know, a few years' time, I'm going to be in bed at 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve. But I fell asleep around about 9:30, I think. And then was ruthlessly and brutally awakened at about 11:45 when all the fireworks started going off. So that's definitely the order of things. When you're young, you're out there, aren't you? New Year's Eve, just in a shirt. And yeah, in town. Location and time you stay out to. In town, late, seeing the new year in, you're young, aren't you? That's your teenage years, early 20s. Late 20s, you're sort of like local pub. You want to sit down. Late 20s, early 30s, that is, isn't it? Seeing the new year in. You want to stay in a pub, somewhere warm, somewhere cozy. You've got a coat with you. You've not gone out like you're 18 in just a shirt thinking, oh my God, that's when a coat becomes too much, isn't it? When you're 18 and that, you don't think of a coat. You don't even need a coat. You're going in, you're going out, you're going different places. You just brave the cold, don't you? late 20s, early 30s, you'll go to a local pub, see in the new year, like, you got your coat with you, haven't you? Late 30s, early 40s, you're going to be round a friend's house. You've got a coat. You probably brought your slippers with you. That's it, isn't it? You probably brought your slippers with you. You got your favourite. You brought along your favourite beer. You know, it's warm, it's cosy. You want the sofa or your own seat in their front room in the lounge, don't you? You know, late, knocking on mid to late 40s, you're at home. And yeah, you're at home, seeing, struggling to stay awake to see the new year in, because you know all of that excitement in your when you're 18, 19, you're going out, all of that excitement of New Year's Eve never lives up to the hype, does it? And you know that in your mid to late 40s, you know it's just going to be another year. Everything's going to plod on, gradually go downhill health-wise. happy fucking New Year, people. I don't know. New Year's resolutions this year for me, work harder. I know. Well, what's happened to the last 2 weeks of episodes then, Ben? I know. You know, we're easing into this. I'm in my cranking up to the late 40s here, people. You know, it just takes us a bit of time to start getting ready, doesn't it? You know, I don't spring out of bed every day anymore like I did when I was 18, 19. I walk into it, you know, I warm up a little bit, do a few stretches in the morning, try and get my back right. That seems to be getting worse and worse as the day goes on. You know, that's what I'm doing with this podcast, people, isn't it? I hope your Christmas and New Year. My Christmas was nice, actually. My Christmas was quite quiet. I know I was going to do a podcast on Christmas Eve, but I thought, fuck it, I won't bother. It was too nice. I did my usual thing Christmas Day. I did my usual thing. I watched It's a Wonderful Life, and I watched Casablanca. I love those films. Anybody who has never seen Casablanca, I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend it. And It's a Wonderful Life is just the greatest Christmas film. I love it. It's got potential suicide, redemption. It's got angels in it. It's got Jimmy Stewart. What more do you need than that? You know, it's got a war hero. You know, that's all you need. And here we are now on the 15th of January, people. And is it the 15th? 15th. Oh, fucking phone's gone off. Is it the 14th of January? I have no idea. Audio disconnected. Ben's like, yeah, why is it taking my audio from there anyway? I have no idea. Anyway, yeah, that's another thing that's happened. This is what happens, right? My iPhone has been updated. Now, all of a sudden, this is it won't hold a fucking charge anymore. I can't make it through the day with a full iPhone battery. Now, I know you make sacrifices for Apple. I know we do. I know there's people out there now with fucking Android phones going, well, you should get an Android. But I'm in too deep, people. I'm in too deep. It's like a comfortable blanket, isn't it? But now, for some reason, like, my phone is like 3 years old, I think, something like that. Now, for some reason, I can't, my phone won't hold a fucking charge all day. So, and it says it's working at 75% battery capacity. So this is how they get you, isn't it? This is how they get you. First rant of the year, there we go, isn't it? And then you have to buy a new phone and that lasts 2-3 years. Why can't they just, but you know, I don't do anything with my phone other than make calls, message a few people, and that's it. That's all I want to do with it, right? And all I want is 2024. Can we not get a phone, an iPhone, that can hold a fucking charge for 24 hours? Can we not do that? Surely we can do that. Surely. People of Apple, but they don't want that, do they? They want to replace it every fucking few years. So you know, now you have to pay 800 quid for a fucking phone and get a mortgage on it. That'll be the next thing the banks are offering. Mortgages on fucking brand new phones. Anyway, let's try and calm down a little bit, shall we? So I don't really know what date it is. Is it the 15th, 14th, something like that? I don't know. Whatever date it is, it'll be right on the thing when I do it. Yeah, so my Christmas and New Year was nice. I didn't even have a drink at New Year. This is what it's come to. I've got a bottle of Prosecco in the fridge, a tiny mini bottle of Prosecco. I was going to have that Christmas Day, and when it came to it, I had a cup of tea instead because it was a lot more warming. I've spent most of my time over the Christmas period on my fucking sofa with a hot water bottle on my feet under a blanket. Now, that is my happy place, people. I've learned that there is nothing better in life than a hot water bottle on your feet when it's cold outside and a blanket over you. That's all I want out of life anymore. Fuck having kids. Fuck getting married. If you're married right now with kids, leave them immediately. My advice, just try this. I know you've got all that love shit going on and, you know, it's going to make you feel insecure. You're going to look a bastard. When you're having this conversation with your wife and kids, when you've sat them down, had this conversation, your kids are going to be crying, your wife's going to be like, you know, screaming, shouting at you, how could you do this to us? But you just look her dead in the face and you say, this is what I want out of life. All I want is a hot water bottle and a blanket, and you can't do that for me anymore. I need to be on my own. I thoroughly recommend it. Anyway, that's my and a heated blanket in bed. That's it. You know, that's all you need. That's all I need out of life now. I need a hot water bottle. I need a blanket on the sofa. I need a heated blanket in bed, and I am good. I get into bed with my heated blanket on. I'm sorry to go on about this, people, but I will give the benefits of a heated blanket in bed. I get in bed, and every time I fucking get in bed, I get in there, feel that warmth, and I can't help myself. It's like some sort of like instant, you know, reaction to it. It's Pavlovian reaction to that of going, oh God, that's good. I don't know any better feeling than that. It's kind of like lowering yourself into a hot bath when you're cold. Not a lot too hot, so it starts like you're getting that pins and needles in your feet and your hands and shit. But just like lowering yourself. But you haven't got the shit of having to dry yourself afterwards. Well, hopefully not in bed anyway. Hopefully not in bed. So I've watched a few films over the Christmas period. That's what I did. I've had a few gigs. I did that, what was it? I did that weed gig. Holy shit. This was a, why has everything gone off? I have no idea why that's gone off. There we go. Oh, fucking hell. Here we go. Same old shit, innit? Every year, something will switch off. The same cutting edge technology we have here at the Ben Briggs podcast, where like if you move for a moment, the fucking headphone thing comes out and you think you've gone deaf. Yeah, so I on the 28th of December, I did a gig called the Smile High Club. Now, this was a Cloak and Dagger-esque type gig. This is a gig where everybody at the gig is smoking weed, gear, whatever you want to call it, grass, marijuana, the reefer, whatever. So it has to be because these things are not legal here in the UK. They had to keep it low pro, a little bit low profile. So I got the message of where the venue was about 3 hours before the gig. He booked me in for the gig ages ago. Yeah, I had to do a promo video, all that sort of shit. And the guy booked me in for the gig. Now, the gig is in like a disused gym. Shall we call it? Can I do that? That's not giving too much away, is it? Within the within the West Midlands area. Let's keep that. Let's keep that vague. Let's give like the type of like. So it's a gym where all the gym equipment has been taken out. It's downstairs underground. It's very industrial. You get in there and you can smell that shit a mile off. And there's about, I think there's about 200 people in there, 150, 200 people sitting there. And there's vendors set up. if they got raided that night, there was vendors set up in there selling, like, I don't know, hash cakes, brownies, you know, like, I don't know, little crouton things with, I don't know. We got a goodie bag of shit from them, which it's not really my thing, to be honest. So this is how much I hate the smell of weed, by the way. This was my operation. The gig went all right. I basically got away with it. It's very difficult to gig with people who are fucking stoned in front of them because they're not the sharpest tools in the box. Now, I don't mean that to say they're not intelligent people. They may well be, but their intelligence was somewhat hampered. Not that you have to be particularly intelligent for my shit, obviously. But the reaction times and getting the laughs that you wanted to get and that sort of thing was definitely very different to a normal gig. There was a definite different dynamic. I was on first, and I thought I just about got away with it. I think I just about got away with it. But here's what I did, right? Because I hate that. I fucking hate that smell. There's somebody along the corridor here, like here at Briggs Towers, who smokes weed, and it's the first door as you come down the corridor. And you can smell it a fucking mile off. It gets into everything. It gets in your clothes. It gets in your hair. It gets in your fucking eyes. It gets right inside your asshole. It gets maybe not there, but it gets about a bit. You know what I mean? It's a slag. That's what I'm saying. It gets about a bit. So this is what I did. So I get to the gig. In the car, I've got a change of clothes to immediately change into when I come out of the gig. I've got a spray can of Febreze to spray the car. I've got a plastic bag to put all my clothes in that I'm wearing at the gig so I can just, like, get changed. I get out of the gig. I leave immediately. Like, the next act is on. She gets about halfway through a set and I just leave, right? So I get back to my car. I'm in the middle of the West Midlands main city, Birmingham. I've narrowed it down a little bit more for you there, right? But I haven't given any road names, so that's okay. We got away with it. I'm not a fucking grass. I'm not telling you where it is. Like, you have to sign up for the mailing list and all that sort of shit. If you want to do that, check them out, Smile High Comedy Club. If there's any police listening, I never said a word. So I get back to the car and I just strip off in the street. So I take my top off, take my T-shirt. I think I'm wearing a shirt and jumper or something like that. Oh, yeah, I'm just wearing a jumper and T-shirt. So that comes off. I put a T-shirt on. Then I take my jeans off. And I've got like a shell suit, old school 90s shell suit. I thought this is ideal for this scenario. Let's just hope I don't get pulled over because I am going to be stinking of weed in a car. And that is not a great look. So I bundle everything in to the plastic bag. I get changed in the street. It must have looked, if anybody was watching me, it must have looked like I had just committed a murder. And that I was just, you know, bundling all my clothes, ready to burn them to get rid of the DNA evidence that I'd just, you know, slaughtered somebody somewhere. And then I get changed into a black shell suit. So that looks even worse. I get the bag back here. I've tied the bag up with all my clothes. And as soon as I open that bag, the smell just hits me. It's just a horrendous smell, that is. Now, whether you do that or not is a different, is completely up to you. It was never really my thing. I never really got on with it that well. I didn't like the fucking feeling. it gave me where it feels like your head's in a fucking vice. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I felt sick. The couple of times I've done it, I've always felt sick. And I was like, where's the... I don't get the reward here that everybody else is seeming to get from it. You know, the risk reward. All I do is smoke this shit and feel like crap. Why would I want to continue doing that? I never got, you know, that buzz that people seem to get. I was always alcohol. I think that's probably why. It's probably my genes, isn't it? Maybe that's something to do with your genes in your past. I have no idea. But it was always alcohol. Not that I even drink anymore. I mean, this is a sad state of affairs that it's come to, people. I don't even drink that much anymore. All those wasted nights where you spend time at the pub drinking, getting drunk, and you just think you hit your 40s and you don't even fucking drink anymore. What's the point of that? I have no idea. Anyway, I get back here. The smell is unbelievable. I shoved it in the washing machine. Everything. Belt's gone in there. Socks have gone in there. Pants have gone there. I've just bundled everything in there just to try and quell that smell. I get the plastic bag. I get the fucking goodie bag I've got. I just dump that. Get that out of the flat. Don't need any sniffer dogs coming around the door. And I get in the shower immediately. It was like a military operation. I was just like, right, get this. And my car just smells of Febreze now because I just unloaded virtually a whole bottle of Febreze in there. But yeah, it was a weird gig. It was a weird response gig. Since then, I've done a couple of other gigs as well. One of them at the Picture Drone for the here in Northampton. For the Comedy Crepe boys, that was good. But like the whole here's my thing with that weed gig, right? The whole thing about it seemed to be an exist. The people who run it, by the way, were lovely. They couldn't have looked after you more. They couldn't have been more welcoming. They were totally, totally lovely people. The people there who were watching seemed to be there because they wanted to be smoking weed in public. Does that make sense? You know, they wanted to be seen to be smoking, seen to be naughty. You know what I mean? There was a lot of tattoos on the face. There was some guy with a fucking anarchy tattoo on his face. What the fuck, man? He looked all offended at one thing. You know. I don't understand the facial tattoos. I've got tattoos. I've got a tattoo on my shoulder and a tattoo on my thigh. And you know why I've got those tattoos? Because I'm a fucking idiot. Or at least I was. And possibly still am. You know. Whether you get tattoos or not, that's perfectly, you know, well within your rights. But having a tattoo on your fucking hello world. Here's me. I love a bit of anarchy. Have a look at that. And they're never... I've never seen a facial tattoo that I've thought, holy fucking shit, that is amazing. Like, amazing. You look so much better with that facial tattoo. You know, the one to start... It was Mike Tyson sort of like started it off with that tribal thing around the eye, wasn't it? It's a very aggressive look, the facial tattoo. Isn't it? No one's... There's only specific careers you can go into with a facial tattoo, I think. You know, criminal, or be a tattoo artist. They're the two, I think. If you've got facial tattoos, possibly some sort of, you know... You couldn't even really work in security, could you? Because it's too aggressive, a facial tattoo. You know, depending on what it is. I mean, like, people have the teardrop thing or whatever, which I never really understood why you would want a teardrop. I know it's something to do with prison, is it? Something like that. Or somebody's died. But yeah, fucking anarchy tattoo on your fucking forehead and then various other tattoos that, you know, just look like a 5-year-old had doodled over his face. That's your fucking face, bud. You know, if their practices, which they very much look like they were, if their practices, do them some, you know, do them on your chest. If you've done them yourself, do them on your chest. You don't start tattooing, think, I'm going to take this shit up. I know what I'll do. I'll do it on my fucking face. Because if this fucks up, I want the whole world to see it. I don't know. It just seemed like they wanted to be seen to be smoking in public. You know what I mean? Saying, hey, man, this is an... And they've got the branding, right? Hey, man, this is an underground thing. You know, but the atmosphere in there was somewhat subdued, I must admit, and I was glad that I was on first. That's for sure. That's full show. So I could get the hell out of there, man. Anyway, what I have watched today, now, this is sort of like remake, I think. I just watched it on Netflix, literally before I started the podcast, Society of Snow. Now, this is about the Uruguayan rugby team in 1972 that crash-landed in the Andes. And then they had to munch on some of their teammates. Now, there was a film about this before. I can't remember. This one's called Society of Snow. The one before, I have no idea what it was called. I don't know. Peckish for Friends, it could have been called, because they end up having to survive. They're stuck there 72 days and they end up having to survive on the bodies of their friends and fellow players within the rugby team who have died. They're not just like going looking over at people. They're going for people who are dead. They're not like going for people. But just that choice. The interesting thing about it, I read an article about it as well, and they said that I think out of the 16 that survived, there's still like 14 alive. I think a couple of them have died of cancer over the years and stuff like that. But having to make that choice, and being the first one, I think, to eat human flesh to stay alive. First of all, having to make that choice. You've got no, you know, or you make that choice and then somebody comes out. Holy shit, there's five fucking trolleys in that plane full of peanuts. As you're tucking in to one of the props of the rugby team. shit. Oh, man. But, yeah, having to make that choice of having to eat human flesh, and there'd always be, because anybody you met from that, you know, I know they were saved and shit like that, but anybody you met down the line, oh, this is one of the Andes survivors of the 1972 plane crash in the Andes. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, you've eaten. And then you're going to get the question, aren't you? What does it taste like? Fucking drunk. Oh, it's fucking the best thing I've ever had. Imagine the best kebab you've ever had in your life. It was fucking amazing. But everyone you meet, you wouldn't have, you know, I know they've been married and shit like that, but at the back of their wife's mind, it must be, is he going to eat me? Maybe one day. I don't know. That would be my thoughts anyway. I want to know. I'd want to ask them what it tasted like. They'd be like, it's all right. It tastes like chicken. It was all right. It was cold, you know. I'm sure if we'd have stewed it up a little bit, you know, put in a few spices, that sort of thing. But it's definitely a good watch. Really, really interesting. And just being put in that position. It's like the guy, I was chatting to somebody today, the guy who got trapped with his arm, and you've got to cut that off. I think, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. You don't know until you're in that situation. But A, I don't think I could eat another human. I'm a fucking vegetarian. That's a big leap for me. You know what I mean? Isn't it? One minute you're having, you know, aubergine and salads mainly. And the next minute you're on top of a mountain, tucking into one of your teammates. That's a big leap for a vegetarian. And the second thing for me, I think, you know that guy, 127 hours or whatever, was it? That film whose arm gets cut and then he cuts his own arm off. Ugh! I don't think I could do that. That's all I'm saying. I think you'd have found me with my arm still trapped under that boulder. Well, locked into the side of the thing with that boulder. And I'd have been found like that, you know, perfectly okay. Just, you know, there'd be a slight little cut in my skin where I tried to do it, then got squeamish and bottled it. That's the fucking sort of coward I am. I'd have died in that situation rather than fucking trek with one arm and soaring through and breaking your bone. Oh, brutal, isn't it? What people do to survive. I don't know. Maybe it might overtake me. I'm bad enough if I cut one of my nails too short and it bleeds, let alone hacking off my entire arm with a fucking spoon or whatever he did it with. It's got to fucking hurt. It's got to hurt, man. Anyway, what are we on? 31 minutes, people. Holy fucking shit. That was episode 317. Holy shit. I don't know why I keep saying that every episode, but we keep doing it. I shall be back next week, people. Next Sunday, for definite. That's for sure. Full show. I'll be back next Sunday. Have a good fucking week. We're breezing into it now, aren't we? We're breezing in back into the podcast after about 2-3 weeks off. So I'll be back next week, motherfuckers. Have a good working week. I'll speak to you then. Take care.